You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. This is Jack Inslee here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org for a special post-Valentine's Day broadcast. I'm joined by winemaker Joseph Carr of Josh Cellars. Joseph, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Well, as I said, it's the day after Valentine's Day, so I'm guessing a lot of people have already started their wine drinking and their dates, but I'm curious to know what advice you might have for somebody that doesn't normally drink wine throughout the rest of the year, but around this time is looking for something special. They may not know what they want. What advice would you give somebody that's jumping into this for the first time?
Well, what I would do is I'd find a really good retailer close by. You know, the retailers today these wine shops in New York and Boston and Miami, you know, they're much more sophisticated than they ever were. They taste wines every single day, and they'll have a variety of price points and flavor profiles, and you can just say, hey, look, this is, don't be afraid to say, look, I want to spend $15 or I want to spend $25, and this is what I like. And have them point you to, you know, a new direction and a new adventure, and that's a great way to discover wines and get more experience in tasting new things.
Now, you're an acclaimed winemaker yourself, so I'm curious to know what you drank last night.
Well, you know, I'm kind of selfish. I had a bottle of my 2009 Joseph Carr Oak Knoll District Cabernet, which I only made 200 cases of, and I've been saving it for a special occasion. And actually, I didn't even pick it out. My wife just went to the wine rack and grabbed it. So she made the decision. So that it was time to open this bottle.
That's the pro tip. Let your wife make the decision. So, as I mentioned, you're a winemaker yourself. Talk to me a little bit about how that happened and where you're making wines and what that process is like.
I make all my wines out in Napa Valley, California, and I had a really good job. I was working for a big international wine company based in Australia, working here in the United States, but the company was from Australia, and I had this wonderful job. I'd been in the corporate wine industry for a number of years and really kind of risen to the top, I guess, and I woke up one day and said, wow, you know, what's next? And I remember coming home, and I sat my wife down on the sofa, and I opened a bottle of wine, and I told her about all the things that I've done over all the years and the one thing that I hadn't done. And to me, that was, you know, following the American dream, you know, to start your own company and give it a shot. And I can't tell you what she said. It got very loud in the room. But after a second bottle of wine, she said, you know, Joe, go for it. And I started this little company with not a lot of money. I went and I worked inside someone else's winery. I called a friend, a guy named Ted Edwards, who was really one of the best winemakers in California, worked at Fremark Abbey. And I'd known him for many years. And I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, okay, well, you can sleep here on the sofa and you can make wines inside our winery, and I'll help you. And he helped me, and I worked and made all my wines inside another winery. I'm what's known as a négociant, and négociants is a traditional French business model where you don't necessarily own the bricks and mortars of either the winery or the vineyards, but you contract the vineyards, you contract your grapes, you bring them to a facility, and you make your wines that way. And it's been done for hundreds and hundreds of years in France, and now it's a pretty popular method of doing and making boutique wines in California. And that's how we do it.
Incredible. And I'm lucky enough here to have four wines that we're going to taste. So I believe, why don't you, I think you know what we have here in front of us. Why don't you walk us through some of these?
Well, let's start with Josh.
Okay.
Because Josh is my second label. It's something that I came up with a couple of years ago and dedicated to my dad. You know, my father was a lumberjack from Vermont, and he believed in the American dream probably more than anybody I can think of. And he passed away a long time ago, and I was working with my friend Tom Larson, and we were talking about our dads, and we were kind of like guys that wanted to work on a car together in a garage, you know, putting in different parts and just doing something for fun. And so we made this wine, and I eventually called it Josh. So you have Josh Sellers Chardonnay. These wines are from the north coast of California. So the grapes that go in these wines are from Napa and Sonoma, Mendocino, and a really terrific place called Red Hills, just outside of Napa. So you should start with the Chardonnay, which is really crisp and bright, just a beautifully made, very California-style Chardonnay. I call it my patio wine. I don't have a patio, but if I had a patio, I would be sipping it on the patio.
You know, it's funny. I just tasted it, and that exact kind of imagery came to mind. Like California patio, that is absolutely perfect. And what would you say would pair best with a wine like this?
Well, you know, I don't generally make cocktail wines. I make wines that are meant with food. That's always something I'm ever mindful of. So, you know, this Chardonnay would be great with, you know, maybe some raw oysters or some steamed clams. I really like seafood. I spend a lot of time near the ocean. It'd be great with maybe a grilled chicken because there's just a tiny bit of smokiness in there. I think those pairings would be great.
Wonderful. So moving on then from this delicious Josh Chardonnay, and that's the North Coast Vineyards 2010, correct?
Correct. Let's try Josh Cabernet, and then we'll switch gears.
All right.
Josh Cabernet is again a very California style, great upfront fruit. She's I think around 10 months in oak, so it's got a nice oak nuance, but it doesn't overpower the wine. And Josh Sellers Cabernet, you know, it's something that I did with Tom and dedicated to my dad, and I just thought it would be a little project. You know, I never expected it to be big, and all of a sudden, all these great restaurants in New York City, and Miami, and Boston have been pouring Josh Cabernet for about a year now, and it's become a really very popular restaurant wine because it's a very food-friendly wine. It's not, the tannins are just enough so it holds it all together and you've got a lifespan, but it's not so tight that it just dries your mouth out and you're not able to taste the food. You know, you always want to approach wine as kind of a palate cleanser. It makes your food taste better if you select the right wine. So this is a big, ripe, plummy Cabernet Sauvignon. We blend, I believe, just a little bit of Merlot in it. Each year, it's predominantly the same cuvee, but if I find some grapes that are really cool, I might throw those in as well, just to kind of like a spice rack.
Now, are most of the wines you're making kind of New World by design, or, I mean, what excites you more?
Well, it's interesting to ask that. Josh is very much a New World wine. The Joseph Carr line, which is a Napa Valley appellation of Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Merlot, are very, very French in style.
Okay.
And, you know, that's where my roots are. You know, growing up and working in French restaurants, you know, at the end of the night, we were drinking, Chateau Margaux or Pouligny-Monrocher or a Cru Chablis or a Pommard Burgundy. And those are the wines I really, really fell in love with. So when I started the winery and using the Joseph Carr brand, I really was trying to emulate French wines and to a certain extent, old school Napa wines, which is what Eric Asimov wrote about that day. You know, I was one of those producers that was really kind of going back to the roots of Bordeaux and Burgundy-style wine.
Now, before we taste this Joseph Carr Chardonnay, I'm curious to know, kind of how the marketing approach is different for a new versus an old world wine. I mean, are you selling to different people? Who is your customer base for the new world wines?
The new world wines, you know, it's become a very broad market brand. Josh Cellars has been embraced by a number of restaurants, but it also has a very big retail following. So I think it's probably maybe a little bit of a younger consumer. There's a nice story on the back of the wine about my dad and myself and our relationship, and that helps the marketing of the brand because it's a true story, and I think people in the United States like to find true stories and true things and not just some marketing concept. The Joseph Carr line is probably, because it's a couple dollars more expensive, it might be a slightly older consumer, you know, 25 to 50. And in lots of restaurants, retail, we do pretty well, but over half of our distribution are in restaurants. And Food and Wine Magazine called us one of the top on-premise buys a couple of years ago, and that's kind of just kept going. So,
great. So talk to me a little bit about this Chardonnay.
Dijon Clone Chardonnay from Sonoma Coast. It's from an estate vineyard owned by Tom Larson, who's got a beautiful winery in Canaros, Sonoma. And he his winery is really interesting. I moved some of my production over there at one point in time, and we became really good friends. His winery used to be a thoroughbred horse farm, and it's where Seabiscuit was housed in the 1930s.
Oh, wow.
So this Chardonnay is really big. It's full-blown malolactic fermentation, which makes it kind of creamy. It sees new oak maturation, new French oak. New French oak barrels are kind of expensive, but it doesn't give an oaky flavor to it. It gives more of a vanilla and creamy flavors. Oak, you know, if it's used, can be used in different ways. I didn't want the oak to overpower the wine. So you've got a really big mouthful of Chardonnay right here, which is, to me, reminiscent of some of the great Burgundies that I, you know, grew up drinking and that I love.
Absolutely.
I don't make a lot of this. I only make a couple thousand cases.
Yeah, that's what I see here. And the oak is definitely very subtle, but the vanilla is right up there. It's a big wine, and I have to say I really like that one. And the next and last wine we're going to try is this 2010 Cab Sauvignon. So what's the story behind this one?
Well, you know, this is... Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon is really where I started. It was the first wine I ever made. And this 2010 vintage is really, really exciting for me because in 2010, Aaron Pott, who is a winemaker, he's a friend of mine, he's a winery consultant, and he's worked on such, you know, really high-end projects like Blackbird and Fisher and Quintessa. He came to work with me, and now he helps me with all my Joseph Carr wines. Food and Wine Magazine just called him winemaker of the year this past year. So he's a really, really, really cool guy. And we have a lot of fun. He studied in Burgundy and works in Bordeaux. He lives up in St. Helena, California. So we both were very kind of old school about Cabernet Sauvignon. We wanted to make a wine. I've always made a wine that was a blend of Cabernet Merlot and Cabernet Franc, which is a traditional cuvee that would come out of Bordeaux. So we sourced some great vineyards in St. Helena, Oak Knoll District, Calistoga, and blended this Cabernet together. And it's just big and ripe and plummy, and it's just a beautiful wine, and it's the wine that you'll see in a lot of restaurants in New York and Denver and L.A. A lot of really interesting. I'm always fascinated. I go to a city and I go into a hotel and I see my wines there. It's a real thrill. to see someone drinking a wine with my name on it.
I wish you could see me drinking this right now. It's easily my favorite of the four. And I want to play a little game with this. If I had to guess, and I walked into a wine store and I came home with a bottle like this, I would say I spent about $30. What's the retail price on this bottle?
$20.
Wow. I swear, I really didn't look at any of the press information. I really did just guess there. That's a great bargain for a wine like this. It feels a lot bigger than $20. Where are the wines available for retail?
Well, you know, they're in New York. They're available at a lot of different stores, and I don't have a list of them all. But if you go on our website, there's a retail tracker, which is a really neat software that you can type in your zip code or the town you live in, and it'll actually tell you the retailers that are close by, and that's the best way to find it.
Great, amazing. Well,
but you're right; it is a good. I believe in a value. I believe in a luxury value, wholeheartedly, and we always wanted to make wines that people would try and taste and go, and then discover the price and go, wow. That was really great. What a great value. And I think that's important to make great value wines.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I always tell people that are just trying to get into wine is that price jump from, you know, the $7, $8 bottle to the $20 bottle, that's where you're seeing a huge noticeable difference in quality.
Big difference. Yeah, big difference. Because you're going from wines that are made in big, huge tanks to wines that are spending some time in oak barrels and maturing longer and coming from different vineyard sites and quite a bit of care taken in producing them.
Absolutely. Well, I wish I could rewind time and get a bottle of this Cabernet Sauvignon for last night, but maybe we'll just continue the Valentine's Day weekend and drink some more delicious wine. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope listeners learned more about the wines, and I hope they'll check out the website and find them in New York and elsewhere. Check your restaurant lists. Joseph Carr, thanks so much for joining us on Heritage Radio Network. I hope you'll come back soon. I hope you'll visit the studio when you're in New York.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.